Brother Gordon will exhort us this morning.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Nobody in this ecclesia has been in the El Salvador ecclesia as much as our Brother Jeff. And what we have here now with Brother Alex is a very sad situation where this young brother, who was taken away completely by surprise, and he is now being held for a ransom. And apparently the individuals that are holding Brother Alex are not normal. It sounds like they may well be under drugs, and so we are not sure whether our brother is still alive or whether he will be alive in the future. And so please continue in your prayers for our brother Alex in the days ahead for the brothers and sisters in El Salvador and particularly for his parents. We know that this is a very difficult situation. In actual fact, brothers and sisters, I don't think there's one member in all of the El Salvador ecclesia, in all of the El Salvador ecclesias, has not, in some way, been held up. It wasn't so long ago that 30 brothers and sisters and young people were held up on a walk in a park when two gunmen held them up and took as much away from them as they possibly could. And in fact, most of the brothers and sisters have had that happen to them individually as well as in groups. And so I think, brothers and sisters, as we pray for our brothers and sisters in El Salvador, we can enter into the hardship that these brothers and sisters go through. It's not an easy situation. I don't know how many times I've been to El Salvador, probably 6, maybe 8 times I've been to El Salvador. I'm not sure that I'll go again. It is becoming more scary all the time as we go into El Salvador, as there are those in the country who are looking for money and for jewelry or whatever. So it's certainly not a very comfortable place, and even for our brothers and sisters. Please continue with them in your prayers. The El Salvador weekend that they have at the end of the year, there's usually over 100 brothers and sisters and young people there, as there was last year, and it's being planned again for the end of this year, God willing. Generally, there's visitors from Costa Rica and Guatemala, and also from other countries as well. So let us hope that this will continue. Brothers and sisters, just another further thing I would like to mention. 2 weeks from today, we will have the editor of the Christadelphian magazine with us. And I don't know how many of you are getting the Christadelphian magazine now. It is a very exciting magazine. The magazine has changed considerably. There's a lot of color in the magazine to make it more interesting, a lot of pictures. But also the content in the articles is excellent. And so I would like to suggest to every one of you here that if you are not receiving the Christadelphian magazine, that you now do so, that you subscribe to this magazine and increase the amount of circulations, amount of magazines that are being sold out of the Christadelphian office. And you'll see and get to know the editor, Brother Bramhill, 2 weeks from now, God willing. For today, we are in the Gospel of Luke. And Brother Greg read that very long chapter in chapter 1. And there's something in that chapter that we will notice that is very unusual. And what you will notice that there was a lot about the women. There's a lot there about Sister Elizabeth and also about Sister Mary. Now, Sister Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Sister Mary became pregnant with Jesus. And so at 6 months of pregnancy, Sister Mary went over and to visit she went over to visit in the house with Sister Elizabeth. And as far as I can tell, there's probably somewhere between 50 and 60 miles between the two establishments where these two sisters lived. And Sister Mary went over to Sister Elizabeth and went a very long time. In actual fact, it would have taken at least 2 days to get her there, probably three. And she stayed there for 3 months until the time when Sister Elizabeth was to give birth to John the Baptist. It's a fabulous chapter as we see everything that's beginning to unfold in this chapter in the preparation for the ministry of John and, of course, the subsequent mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And that was John the Baptist. And so what we see here in the Gospel of Luke, for example, we have in this writing, we have a man who was not a Jew. Luke is not Jewish. He was not an apostle. But Luke became very, very instrumental in the amount of work that was done in the gospel work, as you will see, and particularly as you get into the Acts of the Apostles and you can see the amount of work that this Dr. Luke did, that he indeed was a very influential man in the work of the truth. And today, in the exhortation, I would... With the background of chapter one, I would just like to go forward to chapter five. In actual fact, a chapter that we will be reading in the days of the week ahead in the daily readings. And you'll notice in verse one that in verse one of Luke 5, it came to pass while the multitude pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And this is a time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when the people around him actually pressed. They came in really close to gather the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was important that they should do it, and at this point Jesus' teaching was very it was very attractive. But as we come into verse 2, we see that there are two empty boats. He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And so this is what we have here. Two empty boats. The men are already working on their nets in order that they might be effective as fishermen. But in verse 3, he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude out of the boat. And so this is Jesus now. He's beginning to teach the people in the vicinity of his essential teachings. And Simon answered and said, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And so here's Peter, or Simon as he's called here. He's about now to let down the net. And this is so often the truth, my dear brothers and sisters, as far as the truth is concerned, that we work hard and we work long, but we don't get the results. And this was certainly Peter, or Simon here, who was being taught a very powerful lesson, that while his work as an experienced fisherman was ineffective, as a man who was obeying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the result was unbelievable. And so Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night. And so verse 6, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their nets were breaking. And so this is the kind of results that we can get once we begin to pay attention and bring in the Lord Jesus Christ as part of our ministry. And in verse 7 we read here that they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other boat, and they should come and help them. They came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And isn't that the truth, my dear brothers and sisters? That as we become more involved in the work of the truth, and as we become more involved with the Lord Jesus Christ, then the results become so much better. But you'll notice in verse 8 that Peter reacts. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And perhaps this is something that we need to understand in Peter, that here was Peter, and I'm sure the rest of the men, as they were seeing all of these fish being captured and being caught, that their mind was completely taken over by what was happening. But as it happened, Peter, he was captured by something that was personal. And it seems almost a little strange in the whole context of this incident with all of these fish coming in, that here is Peter saying to Jesus, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Seems a little odd, doesn't it? He's a fisherman. They're pulling the fish in on the one side, and in here's Peter saying, Lord, depart from me. I'm just a sinful man. And yet this was the very beginning, you might say, of the ministry that Jesus Christ was fashioning for Peter. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And surely, my brothers and sisters, this is part of our ministry here, that we also, despite all of our deficiencies, despite all of the inabilities that we have as preachers and as people who can go out and talk to other people, surely, my dear brothers and sisters, like Peter, we can become those who will fish for men. We will catch men. And so that should be our focus, as Peter had a focus of being a fisherman. I am a sinner. Not an easy situation, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this, and I don't know how you all do with that same situation as Peter. How effective can we be in the work? I'm going to read a little passage out of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And said, I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And so here was the Almighty God working with Isaiah. Isaiah, who considered himself a man of unclean lips. And here as we go over to Luke, we see Peter considering himself also a man of unclean lips. And yet he is the one whom God will work with. And what about us? My brothers and sisters, do we consider ourselves inadequate? Inadequate to talk about the truth with other people, with our friends, and with our brothers and sisters. And what we see in Isaiah, we see God working with Isaiah. And as we read through the Gospel of Luke, we see the Lord Jesus Christ working with Peter and changing Peter and convincing Peter that he also is one who can preach the gospel. Fear not. And so in verse 11, and that when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They followed the Lord Jesus Christ when they realized what their life was really all about. And so we can see, I think, brothers and sisters, if we look at this particular incident and we see all of the fish, we see the almost a large number of fish that had just been caught. Now all of a sudden it's all gone. On the one hand, there would have been a large portion of money. On the other, there was something completely different. And that was to follow Jesus and preach the truth. Where do we fit in that kind of picture, brothers and sisters? Is that there for us that we would see, on the one hand, huge money, and on the other, the need to go out and preach the truth? They left all. They left it and followed him. Certainly, it is indeed a very interesting picture that we are given. It came to pass, while he's in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And straightway the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer to thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. So much the more went abroad the report concerning him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. But he withdrew himself in the deserts and prayed. And one thing we're going to find, my brothers and sisters, as we read through the Gospel of Luke, is the amount that the Lord Jesus Christ prays. It actually happens fairly frequently, more so than what you'll see in the other Gospels. So if you're aware of this as you're doing your daily readings in the Gospel of Luke now, for the next couple of weeks, please look and see how often Jesus gets aside and he prays very specifically. And so what lays ahead for us, brothers and sisters? As we look at the gospel record and we see what is taking place, in the life of the disciples and in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is ahead for us? And so we have a particular joy that is ahead of us. A wonderful joy, in actual fact. But in the meanwhile, what we see as we read through the gospel records, we see that there is difficulty. It isn't always easy. Life is a struggle. Many of us, we struggle with sickness. Many of us are struggling with particular difficulties. And many of us are struggling with huge problems like the family of our brother Alex in El Salvador. And so we need to be aware of these things as we go ahead in the days of the week, my brothers and sisters. Please consider the needs of others. But my dear brothers and sisters, we must look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus Christ endured the cross. And so it is with us, whatever difficulties we might find ourselves in, my brothers and sisters, including this brother Alex, we're going to have to endure it. Somehow we're going to have to get through, because there is indeed something ahead for us. There is indeed the right hand of God where we will be. I'm just going to read a few verses, my brothers and sisters, out of the Psalms. And here the 68th Psalm. You have ascended on high. You have led thy captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts among men, yea, among the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell with them. Thou hast assembled on high. And now I'm just going to take you over to 16:11 of the Psalms, the same thing, where we have this verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And certainly this is true for all of us who go through any particular difficulties, any particular challenges, any particular temptations. There are pleasures forevermore at the right hand of our God. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world, and ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from me. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And certainly this is us, brothers and sisters. In the little time that remains to us, that we must come to the Father, we must ask of him, and that we may live in his presence.